Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. All of you listeners out there, you are so very awesome to tune into our show tonight. We want to be able to bless you in ways that's unimaginable. We want to help you gain knowledge and share some of our little inside stories that might enhance your position in life. So this evening, Let's Talk Truth is going to explore the necessity of knowing your position in life and the negative impact that it has on others if you don't. So that means the title of our show is The Secret of Knowing Your Position. Now, I know that you might be trying to reflect, what is she talking about, knowing your position? Well, as we go further and further throughout our show, you're going to understand exactly how important knowing your position is. We're going to also explore where does the responsibility lie in knowing your position and who should be held accountable. How does knowing your position contribute to who you are? And before we go further, I want to say that I prayerfully hope that everyone voted today. We have all cast our vote and our voices are being heard throughout the United States of America. And let's just be prayerful that we have made the right decision, because ultimately it's going to depend on how we work in the realm of God over this country. So we just thank you all for getting out there and casting your vote, making sure your voice was heard. I know I did my voting, and I'm sure the rest of you did as well. So what we're going to do is talk to you and welcome to our show, our weekly stand-in person that's always here to help me, and I just appreciate him so very much because he does offer a different side to everything that we do. And let's join me in welcoming to the studio Mr. Motivator. Let's give him a hand. All right. Okay, and also coming to in with us today is my dear friend and a very, very impressionable person and someone who is so powerful in anything that she attempts to do. So let's join in and help me welcome Louise. Let's go, Louise. Okay. Now that we have that out of the way, we're going to really get involved here. We have an hour show, and we're going to try to just share our hearts with you. And one thing that I always say at the top of every show, that Let's Talk Truth with Lawrence. We're not here to preach to you, but what we would like to do is share the truth, and the only way you can share truth, Christ, has to be the center of it. If we just talk about what we believe without putting Christ in, and guess what we're doing? We are merely sharing our opinion. And where does our opinion get us? No place, because our opinion is nothing that's actually valid. It doesn't hit everybody, because what I think of something and what you think of something is only true if it lines up with the Word of God. So we're going to just start right out talking about the secret of knowing your position. Everyone that can hear this broadcast, or everyone that wakes up every morning, you wake up in a position. You have been called into a position. What is the first thing I would say, what position that starts out first? We have position in the home. We have the position of a husband. We have the position of a wife, position of children. And all of those elements right there make up the components for every position in this world. It's going to come from either a husband, a wife, or children, somebody's children. So those are the components that make up positions in this world. Now, if we find ourselves not knowing what our position is, guess what? We're going to end up in trouble. So we're going to start out by, I'm going to ask Mr. Motivator and Louise, whichever one wants to answer this or want to discuss it. What are some of the main positions that people hold that causes conflict or shouldn't cause conflict in as we go through day-to-day, our day-to-day lives? What position?
Okay, position. The position that people hold is many vary. For example, like with the woman, she may be a wife, a mother, a daughter, a mother, a grandmother, a sister, an employee, a boss. You know, she's all that. And then a man, he may be a breadwinner. He may be a competitor. A sportsman. He may be a father, brother, uncle. Pastor. So all of these things, you know, you're trying to be all these things at once. So there are going to be some conflict that don't come up, you know, because sometimes, you know, all these things work, they intertwine, you know. So sometimes, you know, trying to make, you know, when you're doing all this, you're trying to make sure that the role that you're playing at that time will be the role that needs to be played out. You know.
All right, Louise, I understand that. Mr. Motivator, give us your slide.
I believe that one of the positions, especially when you're dealing with jobs, the usual position that most companies or organizations will start an individual out at is called entry level. Mm-hmm. And most people who start at those positions, that means they start at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And they, depending on who trains them or who mentors them, have a lot to do with how fast they advance and how well they're able to handle a lot of complications or problems. But I think this can also be one of the most terrifying positions, because if an employee isn't trained properly and they come in at entry level, they're going to react to the clients or the customers based on their experience or based on what they know. And if they don't know a lot, if they haven't been trained properly, they're going to create a lot of problems for themselves. They're going to make a lot of enemies. They're going to have a lot of angry customers. And eventually, it could affect the production of the company, because once the customers decide that they don't want to do business with you, then it's over with.
Mm-hmm.
And once you lose business, guess what? Your customers are your business. Your customers are your production.
Mm-hmm.
And if the customers are happy, they're going to keep coming to you, and they're going to bring other customers, and you're going to be a productive company. So I would say that the entry-level position is a very important position, and that's where it starts at. And all the people at the top usually dump everything on the people at the bottom.
You know, Mr. Motivator and Louise, those were some very, very interesting points. When I was getting material and doing the research for this particular project this evening, I think I started in the home first and then worked my way into the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
But since you guys have brought up the workplace first, it's one thing that I think is a key word. that we need to think about in the workplace, in the home, at church, on the street, wherever we go. The key word to a successful position or place or recognizing your position is training. Without training, I'm sorry, you're not going to ever get anything. Let's start in the workplace. I think there is something wrong with a person who is so egotistical. See, we put people in positions that's so egotistical and they want to run something so bad. But they don't know what that position is. You want to run it so bad. The United States of America, and especially in the state of Texas or wherever you live, we anywhere in America, we have some of the poorest customer service skills I've ever seen.
Yes.
Because there always want to be a lot of chiefs and no Indians.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? In other words, someone is always wanting to lead and don't have the brain of a BB in a boxcar. But they want to lead. So this is what you have to understand. I was in a position today. We were trying to get some things handled. Walked in a place asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
The lady said, now you guys are going to have to just tone it down because I've got a test going and we've got to really be quiet. First of all, you better find you some children to talk to like that. Because, and I told her, I said, I'm not a kid. I'm old enough to be your mama. So learn how to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, you don't have a test because you're a worker. You don't own nothing in this building. So stop trying to perpetrate like you're running something because you don't. Now, the lady that came through with the kind attitude, she got everything accomplished so very much different from the one that had the attitude. I am so sick of walking in a place looking for an expert opinion from a worker and have them act like I should know what's going on. You know, I can't tell you what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one. You're the expert.
Right.
So I started to commend the young lady that was there, and I said, let me commend you on your attitude and how you have come to our rescue. I said, well, you know, I really appreciate everything that you've done. I appreciate it so very much. And she was so pleased, and I said, the difference in her, she's not trying to prove a point. Why should you have to prove a point? It's your position. You already have the position.
Right.
So this is what you have to understand. So on the job, why do we have people with attitudes that's working with the public?
Yeah.
And if I was in the insurance business, and you find insurance adjusters who have an attitude when somebody calls in. Well, if I've just had an accident and tore up my car, I'm unsettled. So when I call in, what do I need? Someone that's going to be calming to me.
That's right.
And you've got to show the difference. You've got to show me. You're the expert. I don't know. I'm upset because I just had an accident. You're representing me. So why would you not come down and calm me down, and then we can go from there? But we find out, I don't care if the public is upset, the worker is upset. And the more we talk and the more everything escalates out of control. And so those people that do that, Mr. Motivator, I believe they are a product of they're not trained properly. Somebody didn't train them at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so this has to stem from, I guess, from how they're raised and things that's brought up in them that you don't understand. That you are the expert and we need your help.
Yeah.
You know, and so they don't see that at all. You know, they don't see that. We can go on from, let's pull it out of the workplace. Let's go to the church.
Mm-hmm.
You find the same thing going on in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
everybody in the church, you know, every deacon so-and-so, bishop so-and-so, he's standing so correct there with his tie on and his looking down on you, and you're not quite what you're supposed to be because you don't have the same God he has. You know, you're not dressed like he's dressed. So the God he serves has more power than the God you're there looking for. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people have become very uncomfortable in a church. Frankly, I know that there are people out there, but crazy people. But when are we going to depend on God, especially in the body of Christ? We got more bodyguards in the body of Christ than we have guarding the President of the United States. So have y'all just thought about stuff like that? Knowing your position, if your position is to carry the gospel, that you got to carry it to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, one time, a long time ago, I was so very impressed with a young man named Arthur Blessed. He's a man, if you all don't know who he was, he carried the cross all over. He walked with that cross from state to state. But he mm-hmm. carried that cross. He took that position. Not one time did I ever see him with a bodyguard. And you know, I mean, walking, I don't know how he did it, but that was the position he chose or was chosen for him. But look how he did it with such dignity and without fear. See, all these things play a part in the position. Now, if I don't know what my position is, I'm going to get all over in your lane and it's going to be an accident.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been going down the freeway and you've established your position in the lane and all of a sudden here comes somebody over on you, not a signal, and you have to end up either jamming your brakes or blowing your horn because they're going to come over and cause an accident? Well, that's someone who did not know their position.
Yeah.
And when you don't know your position, you create havoc. You cause harm on other people if you don't know your position.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what we have to look at. And where does that accountability lie? Where does that responsibility lie?
Mm-hmm.
If I say I'm a street sweeper, I need to know how to street sweep those streets. I need training on how to sweep the streets. I need to do it the best that I can do. And I don't need it with an ego. I don't need to be egotistical. I do not need to sit and try to look down on someone. Oh, you just walk the street, but I sweep them. You know, what is that? So this is what we're having. We've hit the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
We've hit the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And it's everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, there's controversy because someone doesn't realize what their responsibility is. We are responsible for what? For bringing peace
mm-hmm.
everywhere we go. We're peacemakers is what we should be, not peace breakers. So anytime I start throwing my weight around,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to offend someone. So, but if I'm the expert in the position that I hold, I need to know how to share that position, work that position. And I'm telling you, Mr. Motivator, the only thing that just really can drive me absolutely batty,
mm-hmm.
you know what that is? It's to find someone that says they're an expert in a position and they don't have a clue what that position entails.
Yeah.
So, you know, that really gets to me. Now, if I never have high blood pressure, I have it then.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't understand how you told me that this was your job,
mm-hmm.
yet you don't know your job. Then why are you in the position if you don't know what it is? If you can't show me around that position, if you can't show me, the lady sent us today, sent this person, go home, you need this paper. When they got home, I called to confirm that they needed this paper. I said, this is what I'm going to send, blah, blah, blah. Okay, yes, send that.
They got back up there.
They need you to come. What did you tell me? Suppose I had been out of town. Suppose I had been across town. What would have happened?
Mix-up.
But why is there a mix-up if that person in that position knows that position? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
Why would you make me uncomfortable just because you don't know what you're doing? So, Mr. Motivator, it goes so, it really affects. I was at the polling place. I don't know anything about what precinct I'm in. That's up to you.
Yes.
That's up to the person that's, you sitting there with the papers in front of you.
Right.
If you don't see my name in this book, you got a computer sitting there. Look it up.
That's all I got.
But you're making me feel like I'm guilty because I don't know your job. And that's another thing. That starts a person's day out bad. When you've got to, you run into people like that. Now, in the workplace, I'm going to tell you who I believe the responsibility lies, the people who hire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we all operated and walked in the position that we were chosen to walk in, we know who to hire for that position and who not. You were showing me an article just a minute ago, Mr. Motivator. And this article says, are you the right fit for the job?
Yes.
This is kind of just a little close to home for me because one of my daughters is in a position that there's an egotistical manager there who keeps asking her, are you the right fit for the job? Well, you didn't hire me. Someone else did. So why are you asking me that? What is it about this job I'm not doing? And, you know, when people continue to do that and ask those kind of questions, what do you think their problem is? What do you think?
I think that person has some issues, and that could be considered as harassment. Because if you can't come up with something concrete about what this person is doing wrong and you can't present it to them, but yet you come and you tell them you think they're not the right person for the job, you have an issue.
Yes.
And you need to get that issue resolved.
That's right.
You need to find out what is it about this person that bothers you. What is it about this person that intimidates you?
Exactly.
And there are a lot of people who aren't really comfortable with their jobs or their positions because they really don't know their positions because they were put in that position because someone favored them, not because they were the right candidate for the job.
Right.
It doesn't matter if that person was tested. So what that person was tested? So were 100 other people tested. Okay, but you chose that person, and now this person has a problem on the job because they may not have been the person that was the right fit for that particular job. And when you get a person who's not the right fit, that person is insecure, and so they want to intimidate everyone else.
That's right.
Because when you're insecure, it makes you feel better if you can make someone else feel insecure.
Exactly.
It's a form of fear. You fear the unknown. You fear the fact that you don't know your position. And you know someone put you in that position because they favored you
mm-hmm.
or because they like you. But you weren't the person that was the right fit for that position. That's why you experienced what you experienced today when you went to the polls because the person who you had to deal with was insecure because they didn't know what they were supposed to do. And they felt like, well, I can just intimidate this person and send them through a circle. A lot of people do that. When they don't know what to do, they'll send you around in a circle. go over here, go over there, hoping that you will get caught up and give up and forget about it. But I think that person was wrong, Lois, when they had to deal with you, because you're not the kind of person who's going to stand around and not find out what is it that you need to do in order to get things done.
Exactly.
She or he picked the wrong individual when they started it with you. But I think this is an eye-opener. Are we looking at what we're doing, or are we doing something just to be doing something? And it's gonna catch up with you. If you're an employer, if you're a manager, if you're the one responsible for the hiring, if you put people in place just because, hey, she looks good in that dress. Hey, I like the way he talks. And you put people in those positions just because something that you like about them is going to catch up with you. All of a sudden, you're going to come to a standstill, and there you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to be able to do anything.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's so true. That's true. You know,
Mr. Motivator, you're so absolutely right. People do have problems. And this is one thing that I can say for all of us, anytime we're in a position where we're being dated. And when someone keeps asking you this every day, it does make for a hostile work environment. And that is harassment. And so that's another thing. That manager doesn't know their position. Because if they truly knew their position, they would know that they can get in trouble for that type of thing. You know, they could be held accountable for stuff like that. So this is what we have to understand, and this is how that's a negative impact that not knowing your position has on another person's life. And it makes them, no matter how hard you work, you always feel like you got a strike against you. And so that's horrible. Okay, Mr. Motivator?
You're right, Lois. You're exactly right. I think that's how some situations can become hostile.
Mm-hmm.
Or some people who feel that they've been wrongly accused or not handled the proper way, sometimes they can get so angry that they snap. And then all of a sudden they want to get angry and come out and shoot up everybody on the job or do something. But it goes all the way back to the person who was responsible for dealing with the person who went off.
Mm-hmm.
Someone had to not handle their job properly in order for that man to snap and feel like he had to take action, take everything into his own hands and want to shoot or hurt or harm someone.
That's right.
When we get people who are misinformed to handle the position, it creates problems. There are a lot of people being released on their jobs, okay? And sometimes they get released or terminated by someone who may be prejudiced towards that person, who may not like that person, and they terminate them, but they don't have a substantial reason for terminating that individual, okay? And when they terminate that individual and they can't substantiate or prove what this person actually did wrong, okay, then not only does it cause problems, it causes lawsuits,
mm-hmm,
for the organization, for the company, and also it causes people to want to get angry, because if this man has 8 children at home and he's got a house note and a car note and someone unjustly terminated them from the job because they didn't like them and they just wanted to get rid of them, that's an issue, and that causes things to get out of hand. So I think these are what you're talking about tonight is very serious, and companies and organizations and churches, everything on the whole, the upper line management needs to look at their procedures and look at who they have in position that's causing problems or going to cause something to explode or something to get out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be that way if we get people in the right people in the right position, and then train those people after they get in those positions.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way you talk to a person.
Yeah.
I noticed with me being an educator, I learned that, and especially when I served as a principal, that I had to have meetings with a lot of my staff, with a lot of my teachers, because an elementary teacher is used to talking to children a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not thinking, they'll take an individual and talk to them the same way that they talked it to that kid and insult that individual's intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And cause the parent to explode. And so, therefore, we had to have meetings to make sure that the teachers knew how to talk to the parents to explain what was going on with the children.
Mm-hmm.
And it works vice versa with all the other different grade levels on up to high school. If you don't talk to a person and deal with someone who's upset and talk to them in the right way and calm them down, you can have a fire that can get out of hand and there won't be anyone to put that fire out.
Mm-hmm.
It is so important that we get intelligent people in intelligent positions, because what I find out, people who are unintelligent, uninformed, do things that cause other people to stumble, or they cause other people to lose their jobs because of them not knowing how to handle their position.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it time after time and after time.
Of course. You know, Mr. Motivator, there was one time in my life that I was a director of my own daycare, and I had a private school.
Yes.
Which the private school only went to the sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
But I had seen so many public schools where the teachers had influenced, had such negative impact on the students, that students really didn't want to go to school every day. So when I was putting everything together, all the guidelines for the school, I had some guidelines for the teachers that I hired. And the teachers that I hired, I gave them 12 steps because, and I was looking the other day when I found a copy of what I had. And the first step was, I said, today, you are a teacher.
Wow.
And the second one, I said, you have someone's future in your hands.
Yeah.
So that gives you responsibility, that gives you accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, the third step was, the people that you are responsible for are called students.
Mm-hmm.
And they are God's small angels. Number four, I said students always come first. From the time they come to school until the time they go home, they come first. And the fifth one says, if the teacher is having a bad day, keep it to yourself. You know, no one is, you don't have to let every child know you're having a bad day. And I told him, I said, I would rather you call in than to come to work in a bad mood. Because I just don't believe we should have to deal with you being the expert now. You're the head. You're the leader. So, and I said, the number six says, listen to what every student has to say and give them a quality response. I heard a lady, the young lady was trying to explain something to her. Well, I don't want to hear all that. She said you had a question. Well, you know, how is that? So that's why these rules were put in place, so that these students would not, they would have a clear mind to learn. And number seven, I said, give every student
mm-hmm.
their moment. You know, everybody needs a moment.
Yeah.
number eight, I said say no so that it doesn't feel like no.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Sometimes you can just, I said no and that's going to be it. Well, you just brought hostility into that person, but you can tell a person no without actually making it seem negative.
Yeah.
And number nine says, never make a student feel bad about themselves because all mistakes are forgivable. And number 10, I said, always let your adult light shine in a childlike manner.
Yeah.
And I said, number 11, never reinforce in words who you are. They already know who you are.
Mm.
How many times have you heard, I'm the teacher here, I got mine, you just need to get yours.
Yeah.
You shouldn't, no teacher should say that. And my last one, number 12, I said, do not text, talk, or give attention to your telephone unless you're talking to a parent. And those are the 12 guidelines that I set in place, and every person who wanted to teach at my school, you follow these guidelines.
Yes.
And I don't think they're very unreasonable. I don't think they're unreasonable at all.
No, they're not.
Because when you're in a certain position, a child is looking to you for some semblance of organization and to help them organize their little lives. Am I right?
You're right.
And if they can't do that in the position that you're holding, you're not helping them do that, there's something very, very wrong. Because this is one thing we have to do. And I was looking, I wanted to give everybody this scripture. It comes from Hebrews 12 and 14. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, I know we're going to run into 1,000 people who don't know nothing about the Lord. But there are several others who need to be put in a position so that they can know. See, everybody has a position. Everyone has a position in this world. You just have to work your position. You just have to realize what your position is. Mr. Motivator, your position is to motivate people. Now, what about the day I walk up on you depressing somebody? You understand what I'm saying? If your position is to motivate, why would you give somebody a negative side of yourself to make them so depressed? It should not be. Okay?
I agree with you 100% on that, Lois. I think sometimes people aren't fair because they know that they are in that position because they know that they have the skills, the abilities, and the qualification for that position. Some people take the position because they're only interested in the money. The money is the reason that they're there. And what I find is that money shouldn't be your only factor. Money shouldn't be your only motivator. You should be motivated because that's the position that you have is a position that you enjoy. You love people. You want to help people. You shouldn't be a teacher if you only want to teach because you're looking at the money. It's easy money. I can get lots of money, and I don't have to do a lot of work to be a teacher. You should be a person who wants to teach others to learn. You should be a person who wants to inspire, ignite, and motivate. That's one of the reasons the kids gave me the name Mr. Motivator, because I started working with the kids who the teacher called dummy. Some people use the word, there was a teacher who called every student a dummy if they make mistakes. No, that's wrong, dummy. Didn't you get that equation right? Look, dummy, this is the way. And I had to take that student or students who I felt that had the that much that kind of negativity projected on them, I had to work on that particular student and tell them, hey, you're not a dummy. You are intelligent. You have potential, and you can be great. You don't have to believe what someone else said about you because I see it in you. And it wasn't easy, but I was concerned about helping those particular students or those kids who had just been tossed aside, put in another room in another corner, and they were giving up on, hey, you're not going to be anything. Your brother was a troublemaker when he went to school here. In fact, your dad is in prison. Your mama is nowhere to be seen. You came from a broken childhood. You came out of the projects. You're nothing. You'll never be anything.
Mm-hmm.
When kids get that put on them, it's a stigma that stays with them. Therefore, they feel, I got to get in trouble because that's what's expected of me. And the only way I can get some attention, even if I got to do something I don't want to do to make people respect me or to get people to see me, I got to get in trouble. So it was a job working with those particular kids.
Mm-hmm.
But once I got those students to come around and to see that, hey, you have something inside you that makes you awesome. There's something inside you that puts you on the same equal with every other kid. You are unique. There has never been an individual like you, nor will there ever be another person like you because the Creator made you unique. That's what I had to take to the kids and also to the friends and also to other class. People need motivation. People need to feel like people. And when people get in positions and they abuse their positions just because they have the power to do it, just because you're a supervisor, it does not give you a right to go and intimidate other people and to try to give them the impression that they're less than you and that they're ignorant or they got a problem would they be in the position that you're in because you're the supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
That is the wrong position. That's the wrong individual that has that position.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we look at those people, and as an organization, as leaders, if we get those kinds of people out of position, get the arrogant people out of those positions,
mm-hmm.
get the people who are trying to turn out everybody, get them out, kick them out.
Mm-hmm.
Get people who are real people who there you put them in some training classes and leave them there. Leave them in some classes where they can learn and be taught that we all are important. We all are human beings. We all bleed the same blood. You know, none of us are monsters. We all are the same. And once we work on those people and we change those attitudes, I think we need to do the same thing even with some of the politicians that are out here running. How can you want to be a politician and be a political figure and be in a high position when you hate people, when you look down on people, when you don't see people as you should see them, when you see people in classes, when you see people in groups, you don't see people as people, and you want to be a politician, and you think we need to put you in office, but no, you're not a politician. You're a person who has issues, okay? You're a monster.
Exactly. You know, Mr. Motivator, you have hit on so many, many good things, and it is so good to know that we can dissect what we're talking about. We need to dissect it and to really get it in the proper perspective. And we have absolutely gone down to the wire here in positions. And how do we get people in arrogant positions? How does a person get to be arrogant? I believe an arrogant person is a person who's lacking in something. And they're lacking in something. They don't feel really good about themselves. They pretend they do, but they really don't.
So when we get down to now, let's touch on this before we have to come to a close. Look in the home. Do you know how many husbands and have been jealous of their wives? It's too many to count. The different people they don't realize that if the wife excels, it's for the whole family. But men are intimidated by women who make more money than they do. And, you know, but then women have a responsibility as well, because you find some women, man, if they make more money than their husband, they make those men feel like they're nothing. And I think that women have a responsibility, and they should be held accountable how they make their husbands feel. Because all in all, just because you have a break or you might be making more money, what is that to say that you're going to make everybody, your husband, feel like he's nothing? He's really nothing. But we need to stop doing that. We really do. As females, we need to learn how to lift up our husbands. I don't care if they're only bringing in a dollar. You better make him feel like he's a billionaire, because if he loves you and he's kind to you and he treats you well, you can't put a price on that. There's no way you can put a price on that. And I know some men who make good money, and they are just horrible to their wives, and they're horrible to all females. So, you know, when you can find someone that treats you well and loves you and puts you up on that pedestal, I don't care how much money he makes. He may be a stay-at-home dad. He may keep the kids, but he's making an honest contribution to your relationship. And I think that we need to examine our position. What position are you holding? If you weren't trying to be the breadwinner, you know, you're in the breadwinner position. So suck it up and be in the breadwinner position and let it ride. And stop trying to act like you got more going on than that man does. Because I promise you, women suffer without when the head is moved from your family. You suffer, and you know you do.
That's right.
Yeah, you feel, and men need to know their position and know how to treat their wives special and love them and, you know, take them on date night and do stuff like that. Just be kind and soft to them. But you don't have to say, I'm your husband. I know who you are. You know, I married you. But you find them, they're so arrogant. Woman, you better do what I say do. I promise you, a lady bought something from me one time. And when she got home, her husband made her come back and get the money back. I'm serious, he did. And he didn't even work. But he was so controlling over everything she brought in. Now, it's okay for you to run it if you run it for the benefit of the household. But he was just doing it so he'd have money to take his girlfriend in different places. Okay?
Hey, Mr. Motivator, go ahead. Thank you, Lord. So that brought something to mind here. When you abuse your position, it affects everyone around you. The gentleman you talked about who was being mean to his wife and actually doing things that to damage the marriage abused his position. And it brings me back to an article that I read in the Harvard Business Review. And the article says, great leaders don't need experience. Because when you're a great leader, that means you're a good follower. You can't be a good leader until you first learn how to be a good follower.
Mm-hmm.
So you have too many people trying to lead but haven't learned how to follow.
Mm-hmm.
You can't teach leadership if you don't understand how to be a good follower. When you're a good follower, when you've been down in the rut, when you've been down below with everyone else and you've been bullied, when you get into a higher position, you understand the people who've been bullied and you want to help those people, you want to correct that and make sure no one is bullied, that they get treated properly. That's a great leader. And we're missing people, great leaders, in those positions. And that's what we need today. We need more great leaders who want to inspire, who want to help people, who want to make people feel important. The companies that are most successful are the ones who make the customer feel like $1 million when they walk through the door. Sir, what can we do for you? Oh, I'm sorry, that's not what the color that you like. What color would you like? The company that knows how to cater and make the individual feel like they're king is a $1 billion company.
That's right. You're so absolutely right. Mr. Motivator, you're absolutely right. We need you to go and motivate the Walmart stores. And they have a lot of customers, and, oh, their customer service skills in most Walmart stink. It's absolutely horrible because they don't know how to treat you as a customer, yet they have more customers than anybody, you know, in a day's time. So, and I just wanted to mention Walmart because I'm sure the founder of Walmart, Sam Walton, I'm sure he didn't intend for his customers to be treated like that. And I'm sure that the people in charge of the stores now that he's no longer with us feel the same way. So we have to understand when we put something out there that your name is going to be attached to, you need to make sure that you put key people in the right position. And like I said, the key to anything that has to do with your position is training. You need to be trained on how to treat your wife. You need to be trained on how to treat your husband. You need to be trained on how to raise your children. And one thing I want to touch on, and I know we're not going to have much longer, but I wanted to touch on the position of baby mamas and baby daddies. If that man is not your husband, stop trying to dictate where his money is going to go, and vice versa. If you were that important, you'd be a wife and not a baby mama. We don't know the position that we hold, and there's a difference in being baby mama and wife. There's a difference in being baby daddy and wife and husband. So these are the things that we need to focus on. Learn what your position holds. Learn where you hold that position and what's important about it. And I want you all to know that we're here at Let's Talk Truth, and we try to come up with things every week that's going to really help us focus on being the best person that we can be. We talk about, oh, this world is in a bad shape. The world hadn't done anything. It's the people in the world that need to know your position. We know where the world is positioned. We know because God positioned it. Now, we need to line up with who we're supposed to be, line up our position, be accountable for the things that the turmoil that we cause. Be responsible for being the best person that you can possibly be. So this is what we need to understand.
Mr. Motivator, before we go, before you go, I thought about 2 points. You know, the title of the show, The Secret of Knowing Your Position. The secret of knowing. Now, there's 2 words that go with every position, and these 2 words should be the 2 primary words, and they're a secret because most people don't know that these words can help them be successful. The 2 words that go with that, love and respect. If those 2 words are working in your position, they can make any position great. If you understand the power of love and respect.
You're absolutely right. Love and respect, because if you don't have love, you don't have God. If wherever God is, love is there. And if love is there, respect is there. See, I've got to respect you in your position even if I don't agree with you. I don't care what I think. If somebody calls you in that position, then that's what I need to respect you in that level. So we're going to ask you all to tune in again next week at 7:30 when we Let's Talk Truth. We'll have another hot topic, and we're just working on, you guys can call in and listen in anytime, area code 323-580-5712, and you can also send your voice to as an email, and we call it your voice because whatever you write comes from within. And we ask you to send your voice to us and talk about anything you want to talk about, challenge us on anything, and send it to Let's Talk Truth 333@yahoo.com. And that's Let's, L-E-T-S, without the apostrophe, L-E-T-S-T-A-L-K-T-R-E-T-H, 333@yahoo.com. And I want you all to write me. We do get quite a few emails from people, and we try to answer them back, and we just want to do that to you when you call. And the person that can tell me tonight, I'm going to tell you what the secret is. It says that the secret of knowing your position, and that the word that I want you to remember, the secret word is peace, P-E-A-C-E. Because if you know your position, it should be peace everywhere you go, with everybody you talk to, and every time you wake up, you should have peace. Because there's no controversy, there's no drama where you have peace, where you're in your position. Because what you're called to do, only you have been called to do it. And I'm going to make this challenge on next week. The person that can send me an email, the first two people that will send me an email and tell me what this secret word is that I told you about this evening, I'm going to have give you a prize for next time. This is just our second little prize-winning thing that we're having, but I want you all to contact me by email. The first two people that send an email will receive a monetary prize. So I want you to do that. It'll be monetary, a gift card, something along that nature, but it'll be something you can use because absolutely Thanksgiving is coming up, Christmas is coming up. If you don't believe in Thanksgiving or believe in Christmas, that's your prerogative. But this is why we're in the giving spirit. Now, please, whatever you do, tune in to, you can follow us on Twitter, and you can also listen to us on the blogtalkradio.com, current events, and also not this Saturday, but next Saturday we should pretty much have our magazine in its final stages to be looked at. We're going to have an expert or two go through the 40-page magazine, make sure we have things that's in order, and I know you're going to love it. And I want to also encourage you that Let's Talk Truth, we're doing things that we want the average individual to take part in. We want to hear your story. We want to hear your thoughts. We want to absolutely walk around in your head with you and in your heart as well, because we feel that a lot of people feel that you become an expert once you're a celebrity, but I don't agree. I agree that, you know, whatever's in you is important, or it wouldn't be in there. So we want you to just be able to share those things. Thank you. Thank Mr. Motivator for being here. Thank Louise for being here. I thank my staff for doing the things that they do so well every week to make us comfortable here. They served us food today, wings, potato salad, drink. So we just thank you for everyone on our staff. I think our limo driver, he's on call pretty much, especially on Tuesdays. He's there doing everything he can to make the travel into the studio a pleasant one for our guests, and we thank him for that. Also thank everyone in our green room for setting up everything. And just thank the staff all around. And so we want you all to please remember that everything in all that you do, tell the truth. okay? Talk truth. Don't entertain. Talk truth. And with what we have said today, we hope it has been informative. We hope you get out everything. And we are, this is Lois, and I am loving you with the heart of God. So good night and be blessed.